What's up, everyone? This is episode 263 of the Wax Museum podcast, where I talk about all things basketball cards from past to present to future. This is your host, Kyle, and as always, you guys can find me throughout the week on social media. My Instagram is at Wax Museum Podcast, and my X account is at Wax Museum PC. And joining me today is someone you guys are probably pretty familiar with by now, or at least I think you should be. You know him from Instagram as at Connell Collection. He's been on the show at least a couple times to talk about his adventures in collecting and his collecting pyramid. In fact, the last time he was on, Sholi and I attempted to have a pyramid intervention of sorts to no avail. Alex, we might as well start there because a little over a week ago, you actually, it's like you're taunting us, you tagged Steve and I in a new pyramid graphic that looked quite a bit different than the iterations we've seen before. So what on earth is going on with your collection right now?
First of all, it's great to be doing another one of these. Look back through things and I realized it had been a long time that I had been on this lovely podcast. So I thought maybe I should post another pyramid. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, I posted that pyramid to once again try and organize what I'm going through with the collecting world. And it's pretty messy. I know I deserve all of the unsolicited advice that I need because you look at the bottom list on its own. It has Glenn Rice, Wilt Chamberlain, and Matt Bonner. That in itself, if you don't know me, is pretty weird.
Well, and let me cut in here. You didn't just have them there. It says three goats now. I mean, come on.
That's right. Well, only one of those guys, Wilt, does kind of actually belong in the real goat conversation. Matt Bonner is the New Hampshire goat because he's the only NBA player we've ever had. And Glenn Rice is the greatest of all time in NCAA basketball. So I kind of cheat, but he's got the all-time record for points scored in a single tournament. That record will never be broken. It's right up there with LeBron's 40,000, I think.
All right. So I can deal with that. We've talked about those guys before. I know your tier one is your pinnacle autographs, which I can deal with that. Tier two is Wade and Benedict Mathurin. I think we've talked about them before. Now, tier three, those are two guys that I've never seen on this pyramid. So can you tell me just real quick about that?
Tier three is one that I thought would be the most controversial of all. Not surprising is the fact that Wembanyama is on there. If you follow me, you know, 9 of my last 10 posts have been about him, roughly. The way I look at it is I do believe he's in a tier of something I've never experienced in my own collecting life. I was in 4th and 5th grade when LeBron was a rookie. So I didn't have the knowledge to go after him as aggressively as I probably should have. I only pulled 3 or 4 LeBron rookies in my lifetime when he was actually a rookie. And I regretted not going after Luka with his hype, but I didn't, which is probably surprising if you know me.
Very.
LaMelo never did that. Zion, I saw the guy walk more than once, and that was all I needed to not buy any of his cards.
See, now Zion seems like just a trap Alex player. Like he strikes me as someone that you would just load up on. And no fault to you for that, because like I love watching Zion at Duke. I love watching him when he's healthy. Actually, I love watching him right now. He seems to be on a better track right now. But I'm surprised you didn't get bit by the Zion bug.
I'm also surprised by it, and I'm thankful. Like you said, he is playing well, but I think we all know where the market is with him.
Yeah, and no, we'll never get to that. Well, I say never, but who knows? But I don't think we'll ever get to that point with him again.
Yeah, as long as he stays in New Orleans with those wonderful chefs, he's in trouble. With Wembanyama, though, everything I believe for players that are above 7'3 is like this giant red alarm that goes off in my head of stay far, far away from them. And I don't know what it is with this, but normally the 7'3 plus guys are really stiff and slow and not flexible or mobile or any of that. And I've just seen enough of these games that I shake my head. It's happening. It's not even once a game. It's now once a quarter that I just see something he does where it's like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I do love watching him. I do still kind of, like you said, with the 7'3 plus guys, it just seems like there's more of him to get hurt. Yep. I really hope not, because I remember watching Yao Ming during some of the short stints where he was healthy, and Yao Ming was something special as well. But I mean, Victor's doing stuff that even Yao Ming wasn't doing. So I do wish the best for Victor. I was not surprised to see him on your pyramid here. And hopefully people understand I'm just having a little bit of fun with you. I will always get a kick out of following your collection, although it is hard to keep up with at times.
Entirely fair. Entirely fair.
Another thing that's hard to keep up with is the current release calendar. In fact, I think on social media, I got scolded because when I did my last episode on that, I didn't include Prism Monopoly. Shame on me for not including Prism Monopoly. So we're finally getting a little run of 2023 products, including a steady flow of college products, mainly thanks to Fanatics. And then here in a little bit, we're going to talk about the most recent release, which is 2022 Flawless. And that comes out in March of 2024 after a handful of 2023 products have already come out. And it's not confusing at all. So before we cover Flawless, I thought it might be fun to try a little rapid fire game of sorts, because I think you've dabbled a little with all of these products, maybe not breaking them necessarily, but hunting for them, buying them on eBay, Card Hobby, posting about them. I feel like I've seen stuff from a lot of different sets. So I'm going to name a recent release. And remember, this is rapid fire. So give me maybe 10 seconds, 15 seconds, even if it's just a thought. So maybe less than that on that product, good or bad, it doesn't matter. Okay. Number one is 2023 Hoops.
That's my definition of the old school tops. So I always try to stash up on it because brings me back to my childhood. I am a big Hoops fan.
And last year you did the set. Are you doing the set this year as well?
Yep. I completed that one actually last week. Jeremy Sochan was the last one I needed. And I put them all in binders and just let the big piles build up. So okay. I'm a big Hoops fan because that's the debut of the rookie jersey as it pertains to licensed stuff.
All right. So now you mentioned it, how it kind of parallels tops. We didn't get tops, winter or tops, whatever you want to call it, holiday, but there is a Hoops winter. So that's the next one. What do you think of that?
Hoops winter is what I think of as if somebody is going to go to the store that doesn't know much about cards and they want to do something nice for me. Like my mom has bought me a Hoops winter box. My wife was leaving the store once and grabbed a couple, thought they'd be fun. And you kind of have to play it off like you're excited to open them. And you don't have the heart to tell them that it's not what
right.
I really want.
Yeah, like, hey, there's precipitation on this card. But yeah, okay. So I never thought about it from that angle. It's the product they make for the relatives that don't know any better. All right.
Right around Christmas time. It's dangerous.
Right. All right. Number three, 2023 Donruss.
Right about at the time I'm done with Hoop stuff, that stuff very inconveniently comes out. There are some parts of Donruss that are incredible. I know the next day stuff is may or may not be next day anymore, but still one I try and get. And I think it's another one to just move things along, but I have close to the complete set for that already as well. So can't say I don't like it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And many days later, as an autograph set, doesn't have quite the same ring to it. So 2022 Immaculate, and it did come out in this time frame. So 2022 Immaculate.
When I think of that set, it's got a lot of ups and downs. I absolutely love the dual and triple autographs and seeing what kind of creative combinations they come up with. I do believe I should be hired to be on the committee of those. Hasn't happened yet. As far as the RPAs, I can't help but get sad because I get a lot of people reaching out if I want to buy their Mathrin RPAs, and I just can't buy things that weren't worn. And then I've had plenty of arguments with people who try and tell me it is worn, and I have to explain to them that it's not. And I don't know if they genuinely don't know or they're trying to pull one over on me. So that part of Immaculate is something I'm not a big fan of, and I wish those things could be game worn. But here
we
are.
Which is a bummer because I think the horizontal RPAs look incredible. And the last couple of years, I've had to really tell myself, like, no, you're going to regret it when you buy that. Okay.
Yeah, I've come close.
Yeah. All right. 2023 Prism.
That right there is one. If it's at Walmart or a store, I don't have the willpower to leave it there.
Even at $40 a blaster.
Yep. Especially when you have the wife I have who pulls Wemby out of every box we open. I don't know how else to say it. I get really excited when I find it. And normally I don't like the cards that are, oh, wow, these are shiny, I need to buy them. But this year, with Wemby being what I believe he can be, it's not quite the LeBron Topps Chrome Rookie comparison. But if Wemby does become what I said I believe he can, I don't think the prices will dip on those. I do think, actually, Prism stuff right now is undervalued. Mm-hmm. It sounds crazy considering it's the most overproduced thing there is. But I think my love for this year of Prism is because of Wemby. Yeah. There are things on sale with Cade's rookies at Walmart in the clearance section that no one's buying. So I don't think it's a Prism thing for me. I just think most of the sets for this year I like because it's the opportunity to get Wemby stuff, if I'm being honest.
I do like a little bit of Prism though, just because I've opened it literally every year. So I got my two blasters this year. I said, okay, I think I'm done. I didn't pull the Wemby though, so there is that appeal to it. Every time I see it, I think maybe this is the time, but I probably need Mrs. Wax Museum to open that box instead of me. Maybe it'll be in there. Okay. I forgot it the first time. I can't forget it now. Prism Monopoly.
If it was controversial for you to leave it out before, I think it'll be equally controversial to tell you that I don't acknowledge its existence. There have been at least, I would say, 30 to 40 people online who have tried to sell me Mathrin Monopoly stuff. And I'm running out of nice ways to say no. I think I should just start copying and pasting a Monopoly refusal, just have it set in my notes, because I don't see the appeal. I can't wrap my head around it. Some people like it, but for me, it just feels like a giant money grab.
Yeah, I was 100% anti-Monopoly for a while. I still don't own any, but the idea of maybe having to buy a gold Halliburton or Mathrin instead of paying up for the actual Prism one has crept into my mind, because I just can't justify the prices on those. I don't know if I can look at it and not see that Monopoly logo though, which for whatever reason bothers me.
Yeah, you and me both.
All right, 2023 Court Kings.
Court Kings, despite how much worse it's gotten over the last few years, it remains one of my favorite releases, because if you know me at all, you know how much I love art. I am an art teacher. I think about if I were like a high school art teacher, how much I would like doing some of the sets, like color by numbers, as actual school projects. I really can't say enough good stuff about Court Kings, all the art inspired stuff. They are creative with it. I do think they're still pushing ways to like the watercolor type of things and sketch in progress, I think it's called. Those kinds of things are very creative and I appreciate the effort there. The one thing that really kills me as an artist, like I said, is the sticker autographs. When those were on card, that's when Court Kings to me was at its peak. Because for me, it's like you think about a painting. If I do a drawing or something, putting a sticker of my autograph on it is just not natural or normal, and just feels like it's ruining the thought of a painting if you're slapping a sticker on the whole thing. So I love it. I just wish on card could be exclusive for that.
Yeah, I think I would rather just have a really nice looking insert than a sticker autograph. But not everyone's like that, and you know, it is what it is. All right, we got a college product here, 2023 Bowman University Best.
That is one that I've been watching an awful lot of breaks for, because there are a lot of players that I'm intrigued by for their futures. Rob Dillingham is on my pyramid, and I fully blame our friend Jimmy in Kentucky for how much I like him and how much he shows me the highlights. And I was never really a Kentucky fan before I went there, and the last few years I watched almost all of their games.
Well, you're done watching them now this season then.
Yeah. You'll like this. I had them in the championship in my first bracket I did for my family. And before I went to my parents' house to submit them, we put them all on the counter. I saw I had an extra blank bracket. And before I got in the car, I ripped the whole thing up. I said, I can't do this. And I had them losing in the Sweet 16. And I was really, I guess, finding out that they were like 1-5 in their last six tournament games, to put that team in the championship was very scary for me.
Yeah, but with college, you never really know. I mean, I make fun, but I posted a bracket and like, I don't even really watch a lot of college ball. So it's just a lot of guesswork on my part, but I didn't pick Kentucky to go all the way. So I'm happy about that.
Smart man.
All right. So as my neighbor here fires up his dirt bike, which hopefully is not going to come through here. 2023 Donruss Elite.
Donruss Elite is one that's hit or miss for me. I like the colors. And if you get the color matches, it is a lot of space to fill in when it's not zoomed in on the player like Mathrin's rookie year was last year. I haven't gotten into any elite stuff this year, but there are some aspects of it. Like, I believe that's one of the first on-card autos with the pen pals, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good option. And then the whole passing the torch thing, if that was on card, I'd be in a lot of trouble with that. I do have Mathrin and Ray Allen's from last year on my wish list for cards I want to pick up. So there are some good things in there. I haven't gotten into any yet, but I do suspect if I know myself, I'll have to buy the Wembanyama rookie at some point just to fill it up.
At some point, but you got time. That might be something to buy later in the year or off season, maybe. All right. And then last one, it's not really a basketball release, but one of your pyramid guys is in there. It's the new Topps Dynasty baseball product.
Well, I happened to stumble across the articles on this the other day, and it's, I get why they're doing it. I appreciate the efforts, but I can't help but think that's a giant effort to sell more product as well. It's kind of a much more expensive, risky version of Prism Monopoly, I would say, to get Wembanyama in there. And I think it's cool in its own sense. I think like what they did with Tom Brady was cool in its own sense, even if it was an edited photo, it's fine. The only, speaking of edited photos, the only problem I've had seeing him in there is the fact that Wemby drew all over his face and gave himself a mustache. And I used to do that when I was 12 with my mom's JCPenney magazines. I'm not trying to do that on $1,000 products.
Yeah, I don't mind a little extra inscription, but I don't know if I want it to be doodled all over. I do like the fact, at least it says that it's game-worn relics, but I've seen mock-ups with what looks like a Spurs jersey, so that's cool that they've got a game-worn Spurs jersey if that's the case. I think they might also be calling the first pitch jersey a game-worn jersey. I'm not so sure about that. I mean, just call it what it is. I think it's cool that it's the first pitch jersey, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I won't be owning any of that stuff anyway. That's all high-end baseball. I am not in that realm at all. Now, yeah. There are certain products every year, though, when they come out, I make sure to download the Excel checklist from the Panini release website and really pour over it for any cards that I might want to add to the PC. Because in a lot of cases, the best time to hunt for a card is when a lot of other people don't know it exists. And right. Flawless is one of those products for me. I'm always excited to look at the checklist. I know you are too. We both did a deep dive over all 5,381 rows of that Excel spreadsheet. So I thought it would be fun to take some time and run through some of the things that stood out for us. A quick disclaimer here, and I'm not going to speak for Alex, but as with anything high end, the product tends to be feast or famine. So this is not buying advice. This is just like Alex and I are looking at the checklist and like, hey, that looks really cool, or I would love to own that if the price was reasonable at some point. So don't think that this is us saying, you know, hyping up a product or anything. I could give a lot of my gripes about Flawless, and I'll try not to do that today. So we just want to say, hey, here are some things that we like about it. Okay. So Alex, Flawless has been around for over a decade now. I feel like it's a fairly consistent product from year to year, meaning we see the same types of things in there. Although this year there does seem to be an overabundance of foil. We'll touch more on that later. I'm going to try to look past that. But when you think of Flawless in general, what comes to your mind?
Exactly what you said at the beginning about this is the time of year where I start to do my window shopping. I'm definitely not going in the store to buy these things, but it is an absolute joy for me to watch other people open it online. As soon as I go on my lunch break at work, I go watch Flawless breaks. It's part of my routine, I would say, at this time of year, almost at the season ending before it. It's all confusing. But I do love Flawless. There are a lot of things about it. But it's hard to say this year. Last year's rookies with Mathurin, I think, am I correct? This is his final rookie card.
It should be. If they pull a quick one on us and do, I guess the only other thing that could come out aside from a new product is if they brought Eminence back.
Yeah.
Which we did see Eminence with, I think, Cade's year. So, but it came out before Flawless. So I don't think we're going to get Eminence, but it is all very confusing now.
Yeah. Okay. So this being Mathurin's last rookie, it does make it exciting in the context of the one thing I feel like my collection for Mathurin is missing is something that he actually wore in a game. So this is when the game worn stuff starts to make its appearance. And I've had a hard time, as I've said, holding out on buying the Immaculate stuff and to finally get something that he wore. I don't care if there's an auto attached to it or signed. I just really would like to have that is what feels like the last piece of what I'm missing. So that's what I'm excited about for this year's Flawless.
Okay. So we'll talk about it. I'm in the same boat here. It's like, I've been holding out for so long. Now this is one of the things I've been waiting for. So hopefully all of that pays off. You know, it's, I don't necessarily need a logo man or anything like that, but hopefully some of the other stuff stays in a reasonable range. And we'll get to the relics later on, but at the top of every flawless checklist is usually the older cards that didn't get signed in time for previous releases that were not packed out as redemption. So this year, it's a lot of Giannis, a lot of RJ Barrett, Scotty Barnes, and Kevin Durant stuff. So if you see 2019 or 2020 stuff in a 2022 flawless break, don't freak out. That's on purpose. Although you'll probably end up with the Giannis stuff. It might be a 2019 card or whatever, but it's going to have the 2022 version of Giannis's auto, which leaves a lot to be desired. Although, Alex, you sent me a list of your 20 or so cards that stood out to you on the checklist, and five of them were some of these Giannis update cards or whatever you want to call them that we've been waiting on. Can you tell me about one or two of them that stood out to you and why?
I think the easy thing to say here would be the fact that he's had his history with keeping some of his bigger cards. So when I see something like a laundry tag auto, that's a one of one, or a logo man auto one of one, is that going to make the product, or is it something he had and then was forced to give back and is now going into the set? And that's why it's part of the update set. Like, are these cards going to be from Giannis's personal collection?
Right.
These are things.
For those of you that are listening and maybe you're not familiar with that story, I don't remember the exact wording, but one day he basically posted something that said, like, my collection. And they were like one-of-ones that had never been packed out that people were looking for and waiting on. And I don't know if he ended up taking it down or not, but it definitely caused a little bit of controversy.
Yeah, I remember I had friends who were commenting on his video saying, that's mine. The one with the Harley Davidson patch is supposed to be mine. So yeah, that was a big controversy for a few years there, but I'm very curious about what the timeline is on some of those, like a championship tag to two. Was that on Giannis's video?
Especially if we can see, maybe it was an old card he kept from like 2018, but then what if they used a new championship tag since he's won one after 2018? It's like that's kind of messed up, right? Not that, you know, that's going to ruin the card or anything. It's still going to be amazing, but chronologically, it wouldn't make a lot of sense. Now,
this is the detective work that I think you're so good at, and I'm sure we'll have to work on that.
Yeah, I am definitely looking forward to that. Now, I mentioned earlier that flawless is pretty consistent from year to year. I'm mainly interested in the relics, which are all game worn, and there's a lot to talk about there. We'll save that for the end. So you've got your base cards, though, which are numbered to 20. And these have the gems in them, right?
Yeah, I believe
so. Yeah, so they're still doing the thing with the gems. And if you're listening and you like these, you know, that's great. They're back. They don't do a lot for me. There's also a championship theme set that some people are excited about where each card has two players from the same championship team. And then there's a gem, I think, on each side. I believe this is the first year for that set. I didn't see it on last year's checklist. Alex, you wrote down that you were interested in the Shaq Wade dual number to five. Did you write that down because you're chasing it, or is this just the window shopping thing?
This is 90% of this is all window shopping. Shaq and Wade to five. I can name at least 10 people who are going to outbid me on that. So
even without relics and autos, is still that popular? Okay.
It's hard to get anything with Wade and flawless, and most of his stuff does end up being window shopping. But a lot of these cards, I'm just hoping I can see because I'm just curious to see how they look. And a lot of times that has to be enough for me because that's all I can afford to do is look at them.
Yeah, and I don't know if we're going to run into the same thing this year without the hype of the triple logo man, but I know the year of the LeBron triple logo man, I was hunting for these TJ Warren patches, and there were like 36 of them total or something like that when you added up all the print runs.
Right.
Well, those weren't getting listed because, you know, those were like a $30 card. And if everyone's just looking for the triple logo man, the $30 cards just go in a box somewhere. So some of the stuff that I was hunting for in the past, it has started to surface, but there was a long time there where I wasn't seeing it. Now, I think Wade is probably more likely to surface, though, than TJ Warren. No offense, TJ.
Yeah, none taken, I'm hoping.
And then there's one other non-relic, non-auto card on this checklist that piqued both of our interest. You had it written down. I had it written on my list as well. It is a one card, one of one set of LeBron James called Scoring King. Do you know anything at all about this card other than what's already been mentioned?
All I know is that's high on my list of I really hope that surfaces and I get to see what it looks like. I wonder what they did for it, how many gems are on it. I hope it's not one of the, I don't even know if those trophy ones are considered base cards where it's just a trophy on the front.
I don't think so, but I really don't know. It's hard to tell. And even this checklist is confusing these days. But now I think there was a Steph Curry card that was a 101, a one card set that they had some of those gems in them. So it will probably something similar to that with, you know, the picture of him breaking Kareem's record. Maybe that picture with who was it? Phil Knight, not on his phone and everyone else around him on the phone.
Yep.
So it might be something like that. But like I said, I haven't seen it advertised anywhere, so people probably won't even know if they want to chase it because they won't know it exists. So I'm surprised they aren't playing that card up to be, you know, more than maybe it seems right now. But who knows? Maybe it has been advertised and I looked high and low and I could not find it anywhere.
Yep, I haven't seen anything either. I will say on that point, it is kind of surprising how little it feels like I've seen Flawless being marketed. Just there are cards, we'll get into them later. The amount of cards that I didn't really know about until you and I started talking about them, I think it's kind of a miss on Panini's part to not push them because they do have some really good ideas this year, as long and lengthy as the subject or the set is. I feel like opportunity was missed to really push some of these great ideas.
Yeah, you know the shocked faces on the YouTube thumbnails. There were actually two or three cards on this checklist that probably got that face from me that I definitely didn't expect to see in here. And I, you know, I probably won't be able to own them, but they're relics. So we'll talk about those in a little bit here. Now, another noteworthy quality of Flawless, and this is something like you said, that like, yes, they do market this, but maybe they don't make as big of a deal of it as they should. Every autograph is signed on card. So there are no stickers in this release. We talked about our issues with stickers earlier. The only autos I'm keeping an eye out for have relics too, though. So I'm not going to go too much into that. But there is one auto you had on your list from the Enshrined set for D Wade, numbered to 25. And you had a star by. There were two cards you had stars by. So I think this one might not just be window shopping. It seems pretty attainable to me. Have you come across any of those in the breaks you've seen so far?
I have not seen those. I've only watched a few breaks. I haven't even seen any of the Enshrine cards get hit, so I can't even try and imagine what it looks like. But that does have a star next to it, because I think if that's in a window, I think I got to go in the store. When I had the opportunity to go to Wade's Enshrinement weekend this last summer, that was the highlight of my year. It's really the last thing for Dwayne Wade that was like the full circle thing, and it really completed it. And meeting him and shaking his hand and thanking him for all the great memories and all that stuff, that was a once in a lifetime thing. So to own something that goes along with that, I almost consider putting it that card on display with the drawing that I got signed at the Enshrinement weekend. And my one hope with that, the star will go away pretty quickly if they don't. I hope they use some sort of image or something about his career, or maybe a picture from that Springfield weekend would be ideal. I'm hoping it's just not him just doing a layup in a random game in Orlando.
Or a random, yeah, random dribbling pose. We've seen
Yeah.
enough of that already. So, well, hopefully, I am rooting for you there. I mean, they literally had photographers there. So it's not like they're going to have to pay to license those photos with anyone else. They should have had their own person on site. So hopefully, we'll see. All right. Before we move on to the relics, I want to take a quick moment to remind everyone that this show is brought to you in part by the good people at ComC.com, your home for buying, selling, flipping and grading all the hottest trading cards. Their consignment marketplace is home to over 33 million cards, from basketball's biggest stars like LeBron James and Kevin Durant to Marvel favorites like Spider-Man and Captain America. ComC has something for every type of collector. Visit ComC.com today to build your collection with your favorite cards. Okay, so now we are moving on to the relics. As I said earlier, everything in Flawless is game worn, which this is exciting for me. I don't have to, you know, answer comments from people or debate people that are always like, oh no, these are napkins, these are unworn or Dick's Sporting Goods napkins. No, these are all game worn. And not only that, but there are some clues that we'll get into as we go along here that tell us and kind of confirm for us that these are game worn. They're from a certain time frame. There's a lot of good stuff in here. I'm pretty excited about this portion here. So obviously there are RPAs. You've mentioned the Mathurin RPAs earlier. except for Chet. I don't think Chet gets an RPA because he didn't actually play any games in this time frame. So to me, these RPAs seem a lot more significant than their National Treasures counterparts, although I do think those look a lot better. We both like a lot of the Mathurin stuff. I'm probably going to pass on that and try to get a patch, which luckily he is in that Flawless Patches set. I think that's another one that you had a star by. Those are numbered to 20, and then they've got the different versions of them as well. Those have become a staple of the Flawless release over the years, although I'm not a big fan of the design this year. Like I said, there's just so much foil on it. I have hoarded some of these in the past, like Rick Smith's. I have over 20 copies. That TJ Warren one I mentioned, I have 8 or 9. We're not going to get any Rick Smith's this year, though, because there are zero retired players in this patch set. That might be the first time ever, because I have always collected retired player patches from this set. So it's kind of strange to me, and we didn't get any in the dual patch set either. And seeing as this is coming out so late, I figured they might dump a lot of patch material for guys that had moved to other teams. You know, they could say, hey, this is DeAndre Ayton's son's card. He's in a Suns uniform. These are all his old Suns patches we still had on hand, which they do have Ayton in the set, but they don't have a lot of guys like that. So that kind of surprises me. Did you notice the another set they had in there, the Every Player, Every Game tag set? Have you seen that before?
Yeah, I believe that's from the logo, not the logo, but the tag on the bottom left, correct?
So, and the ones that I've seen, at least the ones they did last year, because this is the second year they've done this, for at least for Flawless, that used to be in Absolute years ago, but I think it's just the Adidas jerseys. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the checklist, it's like Kawhi, Spurs, Paul George, Pacers. I think last year there was a Wade one with the Heat. I don't know if he's in, I don't think he's in this year's set, but it looks like they're still liquidating all of those old Adidas era jerseys, which I'm fine with that. I mean, they definitely need to get them out so that we can have them. But that was a pretty intriguing part of the checklist for me to know that they still have some of that stuff laying around,
trying to use up all of it while they can.
Yep. And I don't blame them. And like I said, I'm thankful they are, because as a relic collector, you know, let us have them, right? If you've got them on hand, let us have them. It also adds value to the product. And it looks like we mentioned the Logo Man tags. It looks like there's also a healthy dose of actual Logo Man cards in this release, which people were complaining about last year. There's too many Logo Man cards. Like, are you serious? You're upset about that?
There's no such thing as too many Logo Mans. A lot of window shopping for me in that area.
do they remember the 6 Logo Man booklets that we had at one point? That didn't bother them. But anyway, Alex, there are a couple Logo Man cards you had on your list. Do you want to talk about a few of them that stood out to you?
Yeah, I'll leave out one of them because you had sent me that one.
No, that's fine. Mention that one. We can talk about that one.
So I hadn't seen it before you messaged me that the card exists. The Mathurin and Paul George Pacers dual Logo Man. That's one I definitely just want to see. I'm not going for that one. But I
was surprised they even made it. If you're going to put Paul George as a Pacer with somebody, I figured maybe we'd get another LeBron. You know, maybe we would get it. And maybe they had a Danny Granger laying around or something. But they put it with Mathurin, which I'm not mad about it.
Yeah, I'm excited. I almost want to see what it would go for.
I do and I don't.
I can't help but wonder what someone like yourself would try to go for it with. I mean, it's just...
I don't know. I don't even think I'm in the running for that one. Yeah, now, maybe, honestly, if it was Halliburton and Paul George, I would probably be even more tempted. But I think it might go higher. I think the Halliburton buyers are a lot stronger than the Mathurin ones. No offense, Mathurin people.
And I think it's got to be the only reason they gave it to Mathurin here was because of him being a rookie.
Yeah.
Other than that, I can't think of a reason to not use the superstar player on the team.
Maybe we'll get a Paul George rookie. Like if it's Paul George 24 uniform instead of 13, that would be nice. Give us young Paul George and young Benedict Mathurin. That would be pretty cool.
And my personal thing with how invested I am in Mathurin, it'd be nice if he could become a Paul George. So maybe we're trying to make that happen by making the card.
Okay. I speak that into existence, Panini. That's right. I'm fine with that. What was one of the other ones that you mentioned?
Number one, probably on my list of window shopping for all of these cards, other than LeBron's Scoring King card, the card I would really like to lay eyes on is the LeBron, Love, and Kyrie triple logo man.
Okay.
Because that card to me, I don't want to say it's something from my era because it was like 5 years ago, but the memories of watching the Warriors and Cavs series are something that stick with me very heavily. I was very, very invested in those. While LeBron is not on my pyramid for financial reasons, I try to avoid it. He is one of my five favorite players ever. And seeing him lead the Cavs to that victory over one of the most hated teams of my lifetime for me personally, that team is very special. I can name you every player on that team without looking at anything. I watch all the documentaries, all that stuff.
I hope that they're going to be kind of time specific. So like, I don't want to see a lot of plastic logo men on some of the older themed cards. Like there's a Lob City card. Well, they didn't call it that, but I think it's DeAndre Jordan, Blake, and CP3.
Yeah.
I don't want to see any plastic logo men on that one. These need to be the old stitched Adidas era logos. I thought that was pretty cool. Some of the other duels were kind of interesting to me. Now there's Booker and Durant. That's good. Let's get the teammates. I think there's a Luka and Kyrie. There was a LeBron and Paolo Banchero, which, okay, I didn't anticipate that. There are definitely some, you know, first pick ties there, but that's not, of all the first picks, that's probably not the one I would have anticipated, but he is the, you know, the big rookie this year, I guess. And then there was a Pelicans, Anthony Davis and Zion dual logo. I don't know if we've gotten that before. I don't also know if I want that, but we got it this time around anyway. So did you see that one?
I did. And I think I do appreciate that they're kind of trying to get creative with it. I do wonder, like, is there someone in New Orleans thinking the same way that we think about the Mathurin and Paul George of why would they use that pairing?
That's
But they're
true.
Probably really, really excited to try and get the Zion and Davis one because those are probably their two biggest players in their last at least 20 years.
Yeah, that is true. There was also a Jason Tatum and Carmelo Anthony. I mean, other than like being really good forwards, is there a connection there that I'm missing?
My question here is, as a Celtics fan, or we should ask Steve this, but does that pairing insult the Celtics fans? Because I live in New England and I know how people feel about Carmelo and they're very quick to criticize him. So they're probably hoping that pairing isn't something that's spoken into existence.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's so many people you could have paired Carmelo with. Tatum just seems kind of strange. Like Tatum, save that for all the Celtics logo men that you've got laying around, but they probably already made some of those. I can't keep track of them from year to year.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's close this with a new relic set that is, I'm guessing, will probably never happen again. It seems like it's going to be a one-time thing. I mean, we might see other pieces show up in products down the road, but this is a first off the line exclusive there. So it's one in every first off the line box from what I've seen. They're called Bill Russell tribute patches. And it reminds me a lot of the Flip Saunders tribute patch set that we got in 2015 Flawless. That was right after he passed away. They had a Timberwolves player on the left, I think, and then Flip was on the right. So he was their coach at the time. And this is a one-on-one set, though, that has 300 different cards, or at least that's how they're listed on the checklist. Now, a lot of players have multiples. I haven't seen two of the same player yet to know if they used a different picture or if they just made the number on the back of the card different. I'm hoping they used a different picture if they're going to call them all one-on-ones. These have the circular black patch with the white six in the middle that every player wore throughout the 2022-23 season. I was kind of hoping they would make an immaculate set out of this instead, like the, you know, just the typical upright jumbo patch set. Just make one called Russell Tribute. I think it would showcase that better, but it didn't. And, you know, it is what it is. These still look nice. They do have a lot of foil around them. But what are your thoughts on these so far?
I've had a lot of conversations with people in my life that do the cards or the card world. And it's kind of interesting to hear that some people don't like that there's a picture of Bill Russell on the card next to them. And I personally, loving basketball history like I do, I think it really adds a nice touch to it, seeing the picture of Bill Russell next to the tribute patch. A lot of questions like what you just brought up. When I look at the checklist, I see three separate Mathurin one of ones, none of which I'll ever own. Three LeBron separate one of ones. I like you said, I really hope they use different pictures. Otherwise, that would actually be number to three? And are they just right. trying, are they trying to trick us? I don't know. But I definitely, I've had Bill Russell on my pyramid here and there. But at this point, who hasn't been on my pyramid?
I tried to get him on there. He wasn't on there at one point. I think I was the one that lobbied for it. So,
yep.
He's back. Russell's back off the pyramid, by the way, just so you yeah. know, if you haven't looked at it yet, he's gone now on the pyramid.
He's not in the GOAT tier. Matt Bonner is instead. But yeah, I think these tag patches are fantastic that they took the time to put them in. It does make me sad to think that I'll never own one of a player I actually collect, but I do wonder if I'll be able to ever pick up one of a, like I watched a break yesterday that had Valanciunas as one of one.
Yes. I think that was Pac-Man, right?
Yeah. Something along those lines. I'd like to own one just because of the Bill Russell part of it. And I'm very happy that the NBA decided to put those tribute patches on in the first place. And then to see them enter our world of cards and have the opportunity to do it that way. Like I said, most of them I won't be able to land, probably 99.9% of the 300. But like if you see one for $200 at a show of a lesser player,
I'm grabbing it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, so I went through that same process. I said, okay, there's 300. What is the who is the worst player in the 300? And I didn't necessarily name them, but I thought, what is the cheapest that one of these will ever sell for? And then I looked at every Pacer in the set. I ruled out Mather and I ruled out Halliburton. I'm not going to name all of them because I want to try and hunt one of these down, but there's a couple Pacers players in there that should sell for significantly less than those two guys. And I'm really wondering, like, all right, how much is it going to take? Because I do want to own one of these, but I also don't want to just pay a ridiculous amount for one. There is something though that like we see that Mathurin has three and Halliburton has three and LeBron has three. That tells us though that Panini got three jerseys for these guys. And I had those suspicions about Halliburton for a while, just from looking at the different releases. Okay. Looks like they've got a blue jersey. Looks like they've got a white jersey. It was kind of three. I figured they had three. Well, this now confirms that. So that's kind of nice, but yeah, I mean, they picked up three LeBron jerseys. That can't be cheap, right?
That didn't even cross my mind until you just said that. And then,
cause they weren't on, as far as I've seen, they're never on the warmups. They're not on shorts. They're not on anything else. So it's not like where they kind of steal a Logo Man or a Nike logo from shorts and people don't realize it. Like I think these are all from actual jerseys.
And then that leads me to think that I don't think they used up all three jerseys just on Flawless. You would think there's going to be a lot of napkin patches coming out from the Bill Russell tribute jerseys.
Oh, like absolutely.
So that's that. I didn't even think about that. That's pretty cool.
I would venture to say most of them ended up in the Immaculate, the standard set. Like yep. Halliburton has white jersey relics in there and they're all numbered to 99. And I think it's all from that white Bill Russell tribute jersey they had. We won't be able to know because the Russell patch is too thick. But I was going to say we could do the flashlight trick and see what the 6-digit code is underneath. Yeah. Maybe if you could peel that back a little bit, we might actually be able to investigate that. Okay, Alex, I think we covered most of your list there and most of my list. And I think it's going to be a lot of window shopping for me as well. Like you said, maybe I can enter the store at some point, but I'm going to have to come prepared if I do want to do that. Alex, before I let you go, I want to give you an opportunity to plug your social media handles once again. Anything you might be working on or anything specific you're looking for, these next few moments here are yours.
Thank you very much for that. I appreciate it. The one thing I want to plug first and foremost is the very daunting task of trying to complete a 200 card autograph set. I have landed 190 of them. There are 10 players I still need. I post my checklist on my Instagram account, which is Connell Collection, pretty regularly just to keep it fresh and towards the top of my page and keep it coming up for people. Because the 10 players I need are quite obscure. I need Tom Gugliotta, for example, and Scott Skiles. And I have been told by people at Panini that some of them were very short printed autographs just to get rid of the last of stickers. And I do think the other part of it is probably the fact that no one is looking to sell a Scott Skiles sticker auto from 2013.
Right. These could quite literally be in dollar boxes across the country, but people have no idea.
Exactly. And I'm thinking that's probably what the case is for most of these. I don't think they're being stashed away by Pinnacle super collectors or anything. But yeah, that would be my number one and only plug as far as what I would love to get some help with. It's been a set that's consumed me for last 3 or 4 years now. It sounds crazy to say that, but it's been a long journey. I've got what I consider to be all the big name players, like the Giannis rookie auto with the full signature and the Kobe, and to just be down to these 10 weird players that most people probably aren't looking to sell because it's not worth their time. If you could look at my Instagram and be like, oh, I've had that Scott Skiles since 2013, maybe I could help Alex out with that. That would be my one request. Other than that, I just want to thank you for allowing me to be on here again. It's always a pleasure. And hopefully, I can keep my pyramid somewhat consistent for at least a month going forward.
All right, the new monthly pyramid, you heard it here first. And then, as always, those of you that are listening, you can find me on social media. My Instagram is at Wax Museum Podcast, and my X account is at Wax Museum PC. In the meantime, if you like the content I'm providing, please subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcast. Hit up the website for my affiliate links, tag Taco Bell, and let them know they can pay me in burritos. And until next time, this is the Wax Museum Podcast.